Our lesson today comes from the Gospel according to John chapter 16. This is part of a long prayer or speech in a way that the Gospel of John records Jesus making as he's preparing for his passion. And this is one part of that long discourse. Jesus is speaking. He says, "I have much more to say to you, but right now it would be more than you could understand. The Spirit shows what is true and will come and guide you into the full truth. The Spirit doesn't speak on his own. He will tell you only what he has heard from me, and he will let you know what is going to happen. The Spirit will bring glory to me by taking my message and telling it to you. Everything that the Father has is mine. That is why I have said that the Spirit takes my message and tells it to you." May God add blessing to the reading of this word. So this is Trinity Sunday. For you purists out there, we're not supposed to have red up here. But I like red. And so after thinking, it was supposed to be white or green. Now even they can't even make up their mind between white and green, so why not leave the red up, right? So that's what we did. Of course, Trinity Sunday, we sing about the Trinity. We sang about it in our hymn. We sing about it in the doxology. I grew up anyway, probably you did, with Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. Right, that's enough to scare the kids pretty well. We use, in more modern terms, Creator, Christ, and Holy Spirit. It follows Pentecost, which is, of course, the coming of the Holy Spirit into the life of Jesus' followers. Now, the meaning of the Trinity has been debated for over 2,000 years. Is God three or is God one? Is Jesus actually God, or is Jesus sort of an essence of God? Can Jesus be a real person like us and God at the same time? So you can see why the Trinity has been debated for over 2,000 years. Well, we'll be happy to know, or maybe unhappy, that I'm not going to talk about the Trinity today. This being my next to the last Sunday with you, I'm taking some privilege. But I'm going to talk about another Trinity. I titled the sermon Triple Play, not thinking I was not going to talk about the Holy Trinity. But the Trinity I'd like to talk about today is the Trinity of you, me, and us. And that the you, me, and us is in all of us. We're all a me, right? I have a thing about grammar. You know, when people refer to themselves as myself, what's wrong with just saying me, right? And there's a you in all of us because we are related to each other. And there's an us in all of us because we are a community of people. Now, a triple play in baseball is a rare occurrence. Anybody ever seen a triple play live on, yeah? There have been 708 triple plays, by the way, in the history of baseball. That's not very many. Some teams go a whole season without a triple play. In church, however, the triple play of you, me, and us, to continue that baseball analogy, is in the ground rules. You, me, and us. That's what the church is about. And it only functions well when there is a balance between you and me and us. Remember 2 weeks ago when Jesus was praying for his disciples, also out of this section in John, he says, he prays for his disciples, right? And then he says, and he's also praying on behalf of those who will believe in me through their word. We, you and I, are the people Jesus is talking about. We have heard about Jesus because the Holy Spirit gave the disciples at Pentecost the ability to take the message out into the world. And that's ultimately how you and I heard about Jesus. So we are entrusted with that message, the message of Jesus, you, me, and us. We talked a lot about boundaries over this interim period, and I know you kind of hate that word because it means that there's certain things that have to be followed that we don't like very much, like, why can't Pastor Lynn come back? It's because of boundaries. Why can't we just call him anytime we want? Because the Church of the Palms has boundaries. There are boundaries for me. Why can't you come back next week? Somebody was teasing me about it, about going to a new church, and he says, what if you don't like it over there? And I said, well, I may be coming back and saying, take me back. You know? There are boundaries for Pastor Paul. There will be boundaries regarding his church where he is serving, or he has now resigned from. There will be people there that want him to come back and do things for them. There are boundaries that involve Pastor Paul. And there are boundaries for all the retired clergy in this congregation, by the way, who are wonderful at honoring the boundaries that they're bound by. Honoring these boundaries is difficult at times, both for pastors and for the church. Three times during my time here, Pastor Len was called to perform a memorial service. Three times. And three times he said, I can't. You got to call Pastor Jim. That's called honoring boundaries. They seem unfair. They may even feel cruel at times if you're one who is involved in wanting Pastor Lynn. But it's hard for churches and for pastors to say sorry, but no. It's hard to say no. But boundaries are important, and they protect the church and the pastors from uncomfortable situations between them. Now, I'll share with you one I had. I went back to a former congregation 10 years after I had left, right? 10 years. And I was invited to a reception for someone who was graduating from college after worship. So I called the pastor who was serving the church at the time. I said, I've been invited to attend this reception. Would it be all right with you? And he said, fine, that was fine. I had known him previously. And I walked into the reception and people came up and, you know, greeted me. And the look on his face was so, he felt so threatened that I said, this was a mistake. And so we never know when those boundary issues are going to come up. And I learned a big lesson from that. And I haven't been back since, not at least not while he was there. So boundaries sort of keep us honest. And the answer, a very simple question, whose needs are being met? Whose needs are being met? Believe it or not, there are some people in this room who have big egos. And I know all of you that laughed know it's not you. Now, egos are not bad. We need to have an ego. But sometimes they get a little bit too big for us. But they're not bad as long as we recognize them in ourselves and temper those egos accordingly. And we especially see big egos during election time. We all have our opinions, our personal opinions, which of course outweigh all other opinions. But when our personal opinions become policy, then we're running the risk of violating the boundaries that we need to honor in ourselves. And we pastors are certainly not immune from that. So in the life of the church, there must be this balance between you as a you, me, and we're all me's, and us. Jesus' disciples struggled with these boundary issues too. Remember the story where they're arguing with each other? It's who's going to be first in the kingdom of heaven? Who's going to sit at Jesus' right hand? The disciples argued about those issues too, about the you, me, and us. As your pastor, I most often need to put our needs ahead of your needs and certainly ahead of my needs. None of us would be here today if we didn't have personal needs to be here. Spiritual needs, social needs, intellectual needs. We also wouldn't be here unless we needed each other, unless I needed you and you needed me. For companionship, to make music together, to give financial support, to celebrate Roy's birthday. We need that. And we need here to be here for us, to strengthen our community of faith, to support our church's ministries, to provide a safe and loving place for people to come, no matter who they are or where they are on life's journey. In my time with you, I have met some of my personal needs to fulfill what God has called me to do, to make wonderful new friends, to learn about myself and my profession from you and our being together. I hope I've been able to meet some of your needs. When you've lost a loved one, when you've been sick, when you've had important decisions to make, when you just needed somebody to talk to. Most of all, I hope I've been able to meet some of our needs, to weather the departure of a beloved pastor, to remain calm and positive during a time of transition, to welcome new leadership as a good and exciting thing, to grow in optimism for the future of our church. As I remember you in my prayers on into the future, I pray that the us in you will be of highest priority. For when the us is strong, the needs of you and me will be met. A triple play of sorts. We will make our mistakes. We'll occasionally hurt one another without intention. But we believe in a forgiving God who knows us all too well. May that Holy Spirit, whom we celebrate in this season, be our constant guide, strength, and comforter as we move ahead into new opportunities of love and service. And all of God's people said, Amen.